So I use this app called Anchor, and I was actually watching a Instagram post done by Gary Vee when he said, hey, you know what? People should start using this Anchor app because now anybody can have a voice. They can host their own app. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too. So your podcasts, you can get paid to podcast. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money while doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Join me and the diverse community of podcast creators already using Anchor. I use it. I love it. I am glad that I found this so that I can bring this platform. Hopefully it expands. I love you guys. Anchor.fm/start. If you want to be heard, this is a good way to do it. Welcome back to Toxic Masculinity. My name is Phil Vandermeulen. I am your host, and this week's show is going to be about the war on men. The last 30 to 35 years, there has been a war to take away the masculinity that is male, the thing that makes men quintessentially male and turn them into beta soy boys and skinny jean wearing, vagina hat wearing, Antifa, live in your mom's basement type people. So we are going to explore that, and we're going to look at the difference between patriarchy and masculinity, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things in the war on men, because whether or not the mainstream media, YouTube, the internet, any of these things, admit it or not, there is a war on men. And more specifically, a war on masculinity. This is Phil with Toxic Masculinity. Stay tuned. We're going to get into it. So we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the war on men. And what is this war on men? If you turn around everywhere, you see the social justice warriors are out in force talking about all the different things that make men evil, specifically white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males or just white men in general. So the war on men is to take a lot of the traditional things that make men quintessentially male and either A, redefine them, or B, brainwash them out of the younger generation, or C, bully those of us that were raised a certain way into not being that type of person. And they refer to that as a toxic masculinity or as patriarchy coming to the forefront. So if this is the war on men, the change, the fundamental change, changing the essence of what a man is. What are the parameters and what is the battlefield? Well, the battlefield is not only our personal lives where men feel stifled. I remember when Donald Trump was elected president, a lot of the men that I hung out with breathed a sigh of relief. They said, I can finally actually be male again. I don't have to worry about constantly tiptoeing through the tulips about every little thing that might be patriarchy or might be toxic. I can actually be a dude again. So the battlefield, it rages everywhere. It's in our media. It's in our social media. It's in our lives. It's in our schools. It's in every little aspect. They've permeated every little thing. They've talked for years about the war on women. The war on women ended when women had 100% equal rights with men. Now there is this shift to war on men, and the battlefield is everywhere. This particular war has raged for over 30 years. So after 30 years of waging a significant war on this front of getting away from masculinity and specifically toxic masculinity, but also getting away from this patriarchal society, science is now starting to explore, science of this generation is starting to explore the whole aspect of masculinity. So what I want to do is I want to look at this from the standpoint of science and masculinity, and let's look at it from two separate fronts. If you're on the side that believe in evolution, you believe that we evolved through various means to become what we are today, then you have to look at masculinity from the standpoint of men evolved to be hunters, to be gatherers, to be the ones that went out and do the things that are quintessentially male. That is how we evolve. Now, the liberals love to go through the whole, you know, we believe in evolution as a science, until science goes against their social justice, goes against their belief system, goes against their I feel syndrome. Then it's, well, the science is flawed. Well, okay, so we look at it, you know, man evolved to hunt, fish, gather, and like I said in the first episode, basically to feed, fight, and fuck. That's what men evolved into. Now, if you don't believe in evolution, you believe that there is an all-seeing God, an all-powerful God who created everything in his image, then God created men to be a certain way. And unfortunately, in Christianity has probably done more on the wrong side of the war on men than just about any other organization. And let me explain that. What are Christian? I grew up in a Christian home. What were we told growing up? You sit in your pew, you let the pastor preach their thing. You don't get upset. You don't challenge them. That's not what we were created for. That's not what we were created to do. And that's certainly not what Jesus did when he was on earth. He fought against the status quo. He called people out. He stood up against stuff. So to be a true Christian is to not be a passive little girly man. And one of the best books that I ever read as a teenager growing up about that was a book called Wild at Heart. And I enjoyed it immensely. It's a good read. Even if you're not overly Christian inclined, it does explain a lot of why men are the way they are. So we were either created to feed, fight, fuck, protect, hunt, and scavenge, or we evolved this way, both of which are a relatively perfect science because it complements women. Women, we don't want to be everything we are. We want them to be everything we can't be. Where the confusion is women want to be everything that we are. And in so doing, are not anything that we can't be. And so we've got the pendulum all at one side, and we have women anymore that don't know how to take care of a family, how to take care of a home, how to be domestic, how to do a lot of the things that men don't know how to do. And I mentioned prior about we've got a whole generation of young men that can't do basic manly stuff, change car tires, change oil, look at their spark plugs, fix a drawer, fix a wall, put doorknobs on, basic things that every man should know about. So science and masculinity, both from an evolutionary standpoint and from a God created the world standpoint, is pro-masculine. And has also, for a long time, been pro-patriarch. Because there is an old thing, especially in evolution, the strongest is the most adaptable is the organism that will survive and be dominant. In evolution, males are usually dominant. From a God created the world standpoint, God said that the man would be the head of the household because there are a lot of things involved that are going to require the physical strength, the abilities of men that were biologically superseding that of females. So, as the name of the podcast goes, it is toxic masculinity. And the definition, according to the Nut Jobs, is basically if you're a dude and you like dude things, you're oppressing anybody that's not masculine. Well, I'm sorry. Masculinity has won wars, has built empires, built this great nation, built the devices for which you listen to this podcast. That's real masculinity. Masculinity, including, Socrates, Plato, the men of World War II would be quintessentially toxic masculine and patriarchal, as would my grandfather, John Wayne, Humphrey Bogart, Clint Eastwood, all the really good male actors. Now everything is so watered down, we can't even get a good movie western because it would be not only toxic masculine, but it would also have any other of a dozen different social justice faux pas in it. And so we get a lot of these watered down westerns. But real masculinity is something that is difficult to find anymore. And is always, 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 always 100% of the time referred to by the hyper-feminists as toxic. Always remember that. So now let's look at the one that drives the feminists and those on the fringes of militant feminism over the fucking top. And makes them come all unglued. And that is a saying that I grew up with, and I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this podcast grew up with, of, well, boys will be boys. Oh, it sends them over the edge. Apparently, it's hotly contested because of the fringe of the LGBTQ, RSTUV, WXYZ group, whatever that is, of boys will be boys, because in so identifying as such, you're not leaving open the possibility that they may be transgendered or something along that. No one can really give a reason why it's so bad other than it reinforces the patriarchy. Well, you know what? We go around, and if a girl is very girly girl and does something like that, we reinforce that. Well, girls will be girls. You know, when it comes to, well, my 3-year-old daughter got into her mom's makeup and had it smeared from one end to the other and all over her. Oh, well, you know, little girls will be little girls. But God forbid we say little boys will be little boys when they bring home a frog in their pants. They come home muddied. They, do what little boys do, and they grab, pinch, pull, pick, jump up and down, and get dirty. It's such a horrific thing because we are reinforcing a vulgar mentality and enforcing that they have no clear real reason why. Even when I've asked them, well, what's so bad about boys will be boys, is they go off into this 47 paragraph rant that basically says nothing other than the fact of it's patriarchy, and they can't identify even what that is. So boys will be boys. Yes, we will. Again, we fight, fuck, and feed. We are there to protect you from the monsters of the world and under your bed. We are there to be the everything that you cannot be, ladies. That's what we're here for. And are we vulgar, and do we burp, and do we scratch, and we do well? Yes, we do. You know, anytime you try to put a woman into an action role, the movie never does all that great. Why? Because it's even in today's world, it's unnatural. Boys will be boys. Yes, we will. And we're going to look at girls and we're going to go, ooh, boobies. But, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're going to race fast cars. We're going to jump out of things. We're going to do stupid shit. Well, boys will be boys. Yes, we will. And until you can come up with an actual legitimate reason why that's a bad thing and not some fringe argument about it excludes a group of people that are, number one, a huge minority, and number two, don't even really care about that. I've got gay friends I've talked to, and they're like, boys will be boys. That we find that hilarious. You know, it's funny how these groups are the voice of the unvoiced, and yet the unvoiced sit there and go, shut up, we don't want you talking for us because you sound like a moron. So, but yeah, boys will be boys, and I'm definitely in that group. You want to see a prime example of the war on men? Look at the confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. The bullshit that has been brought forth. And again, like I said, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male. God forbid there's a good white guy out there that loves his wife, takes care of his kids, and is a normal boys will be boys dude. Somebody that just hangs out, does his thing, lives his life. Oh my God, it's patriarchy at its finest. We have to protest against this. And remember, hashtag I believe survivors. Even if the survivor is a CIA plant that was never involved with this person, lied, perjured herself, or we always believe the survivors. Why? Because that's what feminism does. There is no due process in feminism. You're guilty until proven innocent. If you're a man, you're automatically the enemy. The war has been raging like this for a while. It's now just coming to a head. Believe me, it's just now starting to come to this head. So that begs a question, what's going to happen when it does? So now I believe it's time to look at this evil word, patriarchy. What does it mean? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, well, I don't believe the Urban Dictionary, I don't believe the Democrat Dictionary, I certainly don't believe the Feminist Dictionary or definition of it. I go straight to thesaurus since 1828, Webster's Dictionary. The two top definitions, first and foremost, social organization marked by the supremacy of the father in the clan or family, the legal dependence of wives and children, and the reckoning of descent and inheritance in the male bloodline. Broadly controlled by men of a disproportionately large share of power. A society or institution, this is the second definition, organized according to the principles and practices of patriarchy. So now the question becomes, well, is that necessarily a bad thing? Now, the legal and dependence of children, women and children on a man, I am not at all for. Me being more of a libertarian in my thought processes and in my views, I have always been a firm belief that, or a firm believer that people should have their own freedoms to do what they want to do. And most of that ended in the 50s and 60s, the legal binding of men and women and children to their husbands. As far as the other parts of the definition, there are plenty of matriarchal societies in the world, all over Africa, Mexico, plenty of South America. Oh, wait, a lot of different shitholes have a matriarchal society. I don't know if that means anything, but I'm just throwing that out there. And yet, in the quote-unquote patriarchal society, we have Western Europe, we have the United States. Scandinavia is not one. Scandinavia was more of an equality of both the patriarch and the matriarch, wielding equal powers. And, of course, the biggest one that the libertarians never, ever, ever want you to bring up because it goes against all of the feminist agenda is Islam is hugely patriarchal. Let me say that again, patriarchal. But you can't say that because that's the heroes of feminism. Also, if you watch porn, and you're a feminist, you support patriarchy anyway. That's 98% of porn, just so you know. So is it a bad thing? You know, a disproportionately male powerhouse. Well, it can be, depending on the scenario, but it also is going to depend on the location. And you have to understand, a patriarchal society in more of a mountain man or pioneering type mindset had to be had in order for the westward expansion into this country. Now, we have more civilized areas. We don't have a lot of bullshit. You know, you're not dealing with grizzly bears, angry Indians, and the elements as much. So a more equal scenario has been brought across due to technology, education, and up until very recently, common sense. So that also begs another question, which we'll get into. So now we get into the question of patriarchy versus masculinity. Are they mutually exclusive? Because according to the hellacious cunts on the other side, and yes, I did use that word because there's no other way to describe the overly obese, and coming from a fat person, I'm going to call other fat people fat. They look like fat fucking cows with their red, purple, green, blue, yellow, polka dot, or whatever fucking kind of hair they have. They're really bad Coke bottle glasses, and they're sitting there screaming about, my vagina is a sacred place. Lady, I wouldn't fuck you if you were the last cow on the top side of the planet. Okay. And yes, my toxic masculinity is coming out. These are the ones that sit there and tell you, you know, you don't respect a woman's vagina. I obviously respect yours because I haven't touched you and couldn't get a hard on if I tried. So go away over there, away from me. Yeah. And like I said, I'm a fat guy, so I'm going to call out fat people when they're fat. And 98, I would say a good, maybe not 90%, but I would say a disproportionately large majority are fat, hideous broads. They can't get any, and they're angry they can't get any. But I digress. Patriarchy and masculinity, are they mutually exclusive? Well, let's go back to our trusty Webster's Dictionary and let's look up what masculinity means. Masculinity, according to Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, masculine members of the choir, a masculine voice, masculine nouns. Male is the very first definition of masculinity. Male. Well, we can't have that because, you know, that kind of, that leaves out all the transgendered people, the fuckers that are so confused or want to be confused, or basically, like I've always said about 99% of transgendered people, they're just a bunch of attention whores that don't get any attention either at home from daddy and mommy, from their girl, from their girlfriend, from their wife, from society, from work, from anything, and they want attention. That's 99% of the transgendered movement. Look at me, I want attention. So I'm going to act like a fucking weirdo to get it. Masculinity, male. B, definition, having qualities appropriate or usually associated with a man. Deep voice, strong muscles, things along that line. My question is, why are these things bad to have? Oh, that's right, because weirdos prevail. Second definition, of relating to constituting the gender that ordinarily includes most words or grammatical form referring to males. Meaning he, she, you know, he, his, you know, the identifiable pronouns as the new things. Do they want to be referred to as he and him or she and her or it and they? You know, no, it's him and her. It has been throughout literature for 1,000 years. Leave it alone. So that's masculinity. And we read the definition of patriarchy. Nowhere in masculinity is there a definition of patriarchy of the dominance of men. And nowhere in the discussion of patriarchy is there a definition of masculinity. See, in a matriarchal society, you can have masculine men. You can have boys that will be boys. You can have that in a patriarchal society. But you have to have masculinity in order to have a male dominant society, and that's why they attack masculinity as toxic, because without masculinity you don't have patriarchy. Without patriarchy you have matriarchy. Matriarchy has been shown throughout history, just like communism, to cause grief, mass death, mass migration, and or you live in a shit box, i.e., you know, good portions of third world countries that are strictly on a matriarchal society. And I speak in generalities. There are scenarios where that works, but in general, it has not been. So yes, patriarchy and masculinity are mutually exclusive. I'm for masculinity. Patriarchy, I can take it or leave it. But we do know one thing. In a male-dominated society, we came up with all of this technology through leaps and bounds. And women and children were the beneficiaries of that society. And, you know, it's all about don't bite the hand that feeds you. Well, ... So, yes, they are mutually exclusive. You can be masculine without supporting the quote-unquote patriarchy, but we've also defined that patriarchy is not necessarily, or at least the modern version of patriarchy, is not necessarily the bad thing, based on the true definition. And children are bound to their parents anyway, legally, until they're 18, and sometimes even after. So where's the problem? Wife goes off and, you know, kills somebody in her car. Yes, she's held accountable, but the family's held accountable, including the man. And usually they go after the dude because he's the one that signed for everything. So whether they want to admit it or not, patriarchy still exists in the world. And they use it to their benefit. So, here we go. So, it is that time of the show where it's time for the show plug. So, if you like what you're hearing and your wallet is feeling a little bit on the heavy side and you think, hey, this dude's cool, I would like to contribute to the proliferation, yes, big word, of this podcast to kind of help with the whole fighting militant feminism and just making it so boys can be boys. You can do that. You go to anchor.fm/Philip with two L's, PHILLIP - Vandermeulen, V as in Victor, AN, D as in dog, ER, M as in Mary, EU. L-E-N. Once you go to that site, you'll find support this podcast. You hit that, and for as little as 99 cents a month, you can help me start pumping out more content. Instead of every few weeks to a month, I can start doing this weekly and daily. I ultimately, as I've said before, I would love to start doing this for a living. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. But even still, you guys get to listen for free. The best way to get this out and to start the toxic revolution is to share it with your friends and make sure that they know. Spread it like the leaves of autumn. But once again, anchor.fm/Philip-Vandermeulen, and you will see the show logo pop up. Click on listener support and away you go. For everybody else, if you want to get a hold of me directly, I do have an email address. It is toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. Once again, toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. And if you decide that you want to contribute to this, you want to rant, rave, agree, disagree, hate mail, love mail, any kind of mail, send it there. We'll be right back. So what do we do at the end of this? Well, is there a victory in the war on men? Can we win? Does society even want to win? Yes, we can win by continuing to be quintessentially male. Eat your steak, wear your jeans, wear your boots, not your skinny jeans, your jeans and your boots. Fight, fuck, feed, be dudes. Don't let these bitter embodied women and wannabe nice guy feminists tell you and define for you who you are and how it is to be a man. Be John Wayne. Be Clint Eastwood. Be Humphrey Bogart. Be Cary Grant. Be these people. In your own way. That's how you win. Also, when they come up and they call you something, they call you racist, they call you a bigot, they call you a sexist, you just look at them and thank them. Because they play off of the emotional response of, well, I'm not that. Just turn around and go, thank you. Or look at them and go, yes, I know. And what's your point? Because it takes all the wind out of their sails. So, you know, that's how you win this war. Society right now is in the linchpin. It's not sure it wants to win this war on men yet. It's not sure. It's not really sure. You have a bunch of, you know, whether you love him or hate him, Donald Trump has brought back the age of men that we've been losing, that's been slipping through our fingers. And whether you like it or not, it's starting, the pendulum is starting to swing back. The problem with pendulum movements, whether they're political, whether they're social, whether they're anything, is once the pendulum peaks to one side, what goes up must come down. It's going to swing to the other side. It has to. It's the only response. The war on men can be won. Just be you. Quintessentially you, quintessentially male. Eat your steak, drink your coffee, drink your beer, drink your booze, smoke your cigar, the world be damned. And when one of them multicolored hair, I can't get laid feminists is up in your face screaming, look at him and go, so what's your point? Or better yet, call him an idiot broad. They love that shit. They take a swing at you. Remember, they're about equality. Trust me, they'll learn the lesson like the folks here in Portland that keep wanting to go up against patriot organizations and keep getting their heads bashed in. And then they wonder, I don't understand why the cops didn't arrest this guy. Because equality, bitch. So, you know, never be the aggressor. Well, if you're male and you're winning the war on men, you will be aggressive whether you think you are or not. Apparently, I'm an extremely aggressive person, despite the fact that I'm never aggressive at all, at least in my standpoint. So, yes, win the war. Be you. That's how you win it. Don't worry about what people think. Always remember, your character is who you are. Your reputation is who people think you are. I don't give a shit what my reputation is, but I do care what people think my character is. That's why I live by the Assyrian Code of Nine. That's why I live by the Iron Code, the rules of conduct, all that kind of stuff. That's why. My character is who I am. My reputation is as the world perceives me. That I could care less about, as a general rule. And I do have to say, these transitions are some of the gayest, faggotiest shit that I've ever heard in a long time. But hey, that's what we got for transitions between segments, so that's what we'll use. Let's just put it this way. I am toxic masculine, as were my forefathers before me. That's how they came to this country and built the fourth largest farm in the state of Michigan. That's how many of our forefathers came to this country and carved out chunks of who they were, their level of success, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am proud to be toxic masculine, if toxic masculine means being a real man, just being who I am and allowing myself to be me and not worrying about offending people that are looking for reasons to be offended. I am, and I am proudly before that. So what does that mean for me? Well, that means, if anything, it means that I am not going to be invited to certain dinners. Definitely many groups that I've belonged to, I am no longer, I'm sort of persona non grata. But, that's okay, because the groups that I excel in will be the ones, or are the ones, where they embrace a certain level of true masculinity, and know what the classical understanding of patriarchy is.
Yay!
I had to throw that in there. It was just too hilarious. Anyway, so to wrap this baby up, let's go back and just kind of recap. What did we learn today? Boys, well, we learned that boys will be boys, and there's nothing wrong with that. We learned that there is a war on men, and it's been raging for a generation, and it's going to continue to rage until we just don't give a shit. Oh, that's toxic masculine. And what's your point? Go away. That's your best way to fight it. We also understand that science and masculinity, both from the standpoint of God and creation and science and evolution, lean towards the benefits of masculinity and a level of patriarchy. We got Webster's Dictionary involved as to what these terms and terminology is. Yes, another one for the books. The war on men rages. We fight it every day, gentlemen. And I use that term very loosely. But at the end of it, like I said, when they come up and they get in your face and they're screaming and yelling, you got to look at them and you got to either thank them, or you look at them and go, and, or you ask them what their point is, or you just kind of give them this look like you are the dumbest critter on the top side of the planet and go about your day. That's how we win it. That's how we fight it. Always remember one thing. The war on men will be lost when you stop acting like men. Be a man. A real man. A classic man. Enjoy the freedoms and understand that there are certain, that we live in time, different times than we did a generation ago. But embrace the goodness and the classicness of men and masculinity, and even portions of the patriarchy, to fight against the matriarchy. And if you do that, we will win the war on men. And one last final little thought. Just remember, this is just one guy. And I'm talking, and I am giving my viewpoint. 40-year-old divorced father. So, yeah. I grew up in a completely different world than what this is changing into right before my very eyes. And part of the reason why I wanted to do this. So. Yep. Keep fighting a good fight, boys. Before I go. #ConfirmKavanaugh